أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد روي أن الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام قال: ليس من شيعتنا من أنكر ثلاثا: المعراج والسؤال في القبر والشفاعة. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for Marhuma Meher Bano, daughter of Sayyid Mehdi Hassan. Also, there's a request, please recite Surah Al-Fatiha for Marhum Sayyid Ali Zaidi, son of Sayyid Hashim Zaidi. One Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas, please. This hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, which is narrated in Bihar al-Anwar, says that laysa min shi'atina man ankara thalasan, someone who denies three is not among our Shias. So these are something which are basically undeniable facts of our faith and our beliefs. And those three things that Imam had mentioned are: first is the ascension. Prophet obviously went to ascension and Mi'raj, and we learned about that on the occasion of Mi'raj and discussed in some detail about that. And the second point is as-su'al fil qabr, questioning in the grave. And the third thing is shafa'at, means the intercession that we believe, according to the Holy Quran, that the Holy Prophet has the right of Shafa'at, and all those people whom Allah gave the right of Shafa'at have the right of Shafa'at. According to our belief, we believe it's the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and the Shuhada and the Siddiqeen and Saliheen and the Ulama and Awliya'ullah, beloved servants of Allah, all of them have the right of Shafa'at. So likewise, those people who say the Adhan back then in the life of Dunya, Some people feel shy in saying Azan as if it's just the job of the kids to say Azan. We should be taking lead over others in saying the Azan. People who used to say Azan have the right of Shafa'at as well. So these are the three things, Mi'raj and questioning in the grave and Shafa'at. And tonight we are commemorating the Majlis al-Fatiha for these two marhum people. And I would like to talk about a little bit about the questioning in the grave because it's relevant to our subject. And it's narrated that إِنَّ الْمَلَكَيْنِ يَأْتِيَانِ فِي هَيْئَةٍ هَائِلَةٍ لَهُمَا صَوْتٌ كَالرَّعَدٍ وَأَعْيُنٌ كَالْبَرْقٍ. So we learn from this narration that the two angels arrive in the grave. It's an undeniable fact, angels of Allah arrive in the grave and ask the questions. Their names are Munkar wa Nakir. For some great personalities, it's actually Bashir and Mubashir who come instead of Munkar and Nakir. For regular people, it's Munkar wa Nakir. Munkar and Nakir are close angels of Allah, are not the regular angels. Angels have darajat and levels. These are close angels of Allah. And they are Karihul Manzar, ugly looking angels. That's how Allah created them, but they are close to Allah. And they come in a form and shape which is scary, and lahuma sautun karad. Yeah, it's wise, brothers and sisters, to learn the facts, because facts are undeniable. This is what every person has to go through. You know, the life in this world is too short. You know, everyone has to die, be it a Muslim or non-Muslim. You believe in God, you deny, you're agnostic, you're atheist, you're whatever you may be. Can anybody deny the death? Nobody can deny that. So it's wise. We should be thankful to the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt for telling us and sharing this great information with us ahead of the time so we can be prepared. It's undeniable. So their voice, we learn in the light of the narration, the voice of these two angels is like the, you know, like the sound of the lightning. You know, when the lightning flashes, it has a scary sound. That's the kind of sound they have, and their eyes are like the flash of the electricity. And yes, Alan, and that's where they start asking the question: Man Rabbuka, who's your Lord? Who's your Prophet? What's your religion? My teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amuri Hafizahullah, I remember when he was discussing about this thing, he said, these are very basic questions. Come on, who is your Lord? We have been talking about Allah throughout our life. Is that a rocket science to ask a person in the grave, who is your Lord? Everybody knows it. Throughout our life, a Muslim talks about Allah and confesses and admits, right? Then what's the big deal? The big deal is that we are unable to speak the truth. Because if we have obeyed Allah in our life, the obedience becomes part of our soul. If we have obeyed Islam, if we have obeyed the Prophet and obeyed the 12 Imams in our life practically, their obedience became part of our soul. Whatever is part of your soul, you take it with you in the grave. If you did not obey, you just paid a lip service. This is where the problem starts. Yes, we have been talking about the name of Allah a million times in our lives before dying, but did we obey? Only then it's easy to reply when we obey. Because some people did not obey, even though they talked about the name, it would be very, very difficult or not possible for them to reply based on the leverage wherever a person belongs. So now, these two angels start asking, and Allah's mercy teaches us to recite Talqeen, the reminder of the vital info that we recite two times upon the dead person, right? So one of the persons goes into the grave, you put your hands like this, like scissors, right? So your right hand is on his right shoulder and your left hand is on the left shoulder of the dead person. And Islam teaches us the closest of the relatives should go down, the closest in terms of the awliya ul mayyit, the inheritors of the dead person. Who is the closest in terms of inheritance? that person should go down, preferably. If no one is present, anybody can go. And this is where the 13 is recited, and you shake the shoulders of the person. This person, death, is the soul has departed the body, true, but Islam teaches us the soul does not depart completely. It has a contact remaining with the body. Some sort of link survives. And that's why it feels the pain, that's why it feels the rewards in the grave, that's why the soul can understand what you're talking about. If it was just a body, what in the world would body understand from the conversation of a person? Body is just a tool. It's my soul that is speaking to you, utilizing the body as a tool, and it's your souls which are listening and understanding, right? So Waliyul Mayyit goes and he says that 13 is recited. Second time we recite, mercy of Allah, we remind. Second time people go away 40 steps away from the dead person. Again, the Waliyul Mayyit sits next to the head. If Wali is not present, anybody else can sit. You bring your mouth closer to the head of the dead person. And that's where we recite the Talqeen for the second time. At that time, when the grave is shut, angels arrive immediately inside the grave and ask the biggest questions of our life. Who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? What's your religion? Again, remember what my teacher has said. These are the easiest questions. My teacher said that in the tafsir, Allah could have asked the most complex questions of Islam. Tell me about Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, the concept of Jabr and Tafweel, the concept of Mi'raj. Huge discussions among the research scholars of Islam about those concepts, for example. But no, he asked the easiest of the things. But the easiest are very difficult because a lot of people did not practice, or it's impossible to respond if a person did not practice at all. If we are obeying, just you feel, it feels like doing it, just do it. That's how they say in the West, right? We never do what we feel like doing it, period. We do what Allah commands us to do. That's the difference between a believer and an infidel. We are not infidels. We don't do what we feel like doing. We do what our Creator dictates us to do because we believe in the Creator. So if we obey the Creator, it will be easy to respond. The angels. Now the second time when the person, everybody backs off 40 steps, the person recites for the second time. At that time, the narration tells us, information shared. Look at the great information that has been shared to us. The angels say, Yaqulu Munkar Linakir. When the second 13 is recited, Munkar, the angel called Munkar, says to the angel called Nakir, Da'na Na'ud, let us go back. Faqad Laqanuhu Talqeen Al Hujja. Because this guy has been reminded of the Talqeen of Hujjat. Talqeen that's related to, you know, the evidence. We talk about Allah, Prophet, and the 12 Imams and stuff, right? So they are one person asked the other to just leave. Because this guy, when he's reminded, he's able to respond. There's no need. La yahtaju ila su'alin. This guy doesn't stand in need of questioning. فَيَتْرُكَانِ سُؤَالْ وَيَعُودَانِ. These two angels leave the questioning process, leave the question and depart. Look at the blessing. How much we need to be thankful to Allah and the Prophet and strive to be obedient. When the son of Abu Dharr, rahmatullah alayhi, departed, this is a lesson, brothers and sisters. I am intentionally narrating this narration. This is from Man La Yahdurhu Al-Mafiq of Sheikh Saduq. That this is how a father is supposed to be. Abu Dharr is a role model for us. He's on the ninth level of Iman. He's not an ordinary person. Every father is supposed to behave like this towards the departure of the son or daughter. He comes at the grave of his son after the son died. And waqafa Abu Dharr, he came to the grave. Masaha qabrahu bi yadihi. He touched the grave and said, Rahimakallah, may Allah have mercy on you. Oh Allah, kunta li muhsanan. You were a good doer towards me. Wa addaita shart al-nubuwwa. And you fulfilled the condition of being a son. Wal an وقد أخذت مني وانفصلت عني فأنا مسرور بذلك. I'm happy about your departure. See, who took takes the son away? Allah. We need to be not only not complaining against Allah, but be happy over the qada and qadr, be radi and pleased, happy over the qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why we cry? Crying is the sunnah of the Prophet. Correct. So crying is the sunnah of the Prophet. We feel the pain, we cry. That's correct. But and the qada and qadr and the decision of Allah, we are happy over the decision that Allah has made. And now, فَأَنَا مَسْرُورٌ بِذَلِكَ وَاللَّهِ لَا ضَيْرَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ رَوَاحِكَ وَلَا نُقْصَانَ بَلَغَنِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ. There is no harm upon me from your departure. لَا يُضُرُّ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Quran teaches us, if you are guided, even if a person who is misguided cannot harm you. My teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amuri Hafadahullah was saying in his tafsir that Sirat Mustaqim Yakrahe Bitazahumas. I always remember his sentence, exact words of the teacher, that Sirat Mustaqim is a path without an obstacle. Nothing can be an obstacle in your way. You are doing your faridah, you are successful. Doesn't matter who says what, who does what, you are successful. Nothing can be an obstacle in your way. Don't worry about anything. Worry about your faridah. Did you do your faridah right or not? This is what we are supposed to worry about. So, nothing happened to me, no harm from me, from your departure. O Mali, ila ahadin siwallahi min hajatin. I have no need towards you anyways, all I need is Allah. Look at how Abu Zar is actually behaving towards the qada and qadr. So, وَلَوْلَا هَوْلَ الْمُطَّلَعُ لَفَرِحْتُ أَنَ أَكُونَ بَدِيلَكَ لَكِنِّي أُرِيدُ تَلَافِي مَا فَاتَ مِنِّي. I would have wanted to be dying in your place, but I want to compensate for things that have in of the past that I have to compensate for. وَأَسْتَعِدَّ لِذَلِكَ الْعَالَمِ. I need to prepare for that world. And وَلَقَدْ شَغَلَنِي الْحَزَنِ لَكَ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ عَلَيْكَ. I'm sorrowful for you, not sorrowful all over you. Sorrow for you has engaged me from becoming sorrowful over you. This is called ma'rifat. This is called ma'rifat of the person who has basirat and ma'rifat of the religion and qada and qadr of Allah. That's how we are supposed to behave over the death of our people. And then he says, "Inni as'a li'uaddiya min al-ibadat." I strive to fulfill my ibadat, my worships. وَأَقُومْ بِالطَّاعَاتِ. And I perform the obediences of Allah. So, هَذَا مَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ أَنْ أَخْتَمَّ عَلَى مَفَارِقَتِكَ. This is what engages me away from, being sorrowful over your departure. وَاللَّهِ مَا بَكَيْتُ لِوَفَاتِكَ وَمُفَارَقَتِكَ. I swear to Allah, I am not crying. He was crying. I am not crying because you departed. لَكِنْ بَكَيْتُ لِمَا قَدْ سَيَكُونُ حَالَكَ. I am crying about what is your situation going to be. I am crying about your situation. That means, will you be able to reply back to Allah? Reply back to the angels in the grave? Reply back to the questions that are going to be asked? When somebody dies, some people are focusing on the mustahab things. Okay, Maulana, let us do this, let us recite this Quran, it's very, very good to recite Quran, nobody is denying that. But this is not what is going to be asked from the dead person. What is going to be asked from the dead person is the wajib stuff. Did you fulfill his prayers? Did you fulfill his fastings? Did you fulfill his fitrah and zakat and khums?
Did you help out the fellow Mu'mineen people? That's the most important thing, right? So, when a Mu'min person dies, أُدْخِلَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْقَبْرَ حَضَرَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَى يَمِينِهِ.
When a Mu'min person dies, prayers, the nur of prayers on the right-hand side of the Mu'min. Homs and zakat and fitrah, Islamic taxes that he pays on the left-hand side. If I didn't pay the homs, obviously the hellfire is going to come towards me from the left-hand side, because that's void. Flame of the fire cannot be repelled by anything other than the nur of Allah. Nur is the repellent of the fire, of the nar. Did we prepare the nur of paying the taxes timely? Just imagine what happens if somebody skips the IRS taxes. Right? So, bir wal ihsan, the nur of helping out the mu'mineen is at the feet of the person. How much we help out our fellow mu'min brothers in their time of need? If somebody calls you for help, or even if somebody doesn't call you, you know you can help out someone in some way, you should yourself extend your help towards him. That's was a sign of Iman. This person coming, one Shia, one Mu'min is coming from Hajj, and after Hajj he comes back to Medina. Imam Sadiq al-Islam is a resident of the city of Medina, and when he meets Imam Sadiq al-Islam, Imam Sadiq al-Islam said to him, according to that narration, you have done jafa on us, Ahlul Bayt, in other words. So I'm paraphrasing in my words. Jafa means su'ul adab. You humiliated Ahlul Bayt. You insulted Ahlul Bayt. You insulted us, Ahlul Bayt, in other words, he said once. He said, Yabna Rasulullah, what did I do wrong against you? He said, on your way when you were coming from Makkah, in the way this guy was traveling coming from Makkah, right? So in the desert, there was a Shia standing in the desert, and he asked him to give him a ride behind his animal so he can also get a ride behind his back. He refused. Like today's world, we are driving and somebody asks you to please give me a ride in your car, and you refuse your fellow Mu'min brother. And now you come to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. What did Imam Sadiq alayhi salam say to him? In other words, you have done jafa. You have humiliated Ahlul Bayt, insulted Ahlul Bayt. Certain things can be compensated for the dead person. You can go and seek forgiveness from all those people whom a person insulted. So he has the nur at his feet. You can pay the khums on his behalf. He was so much, you know, into westernized that he is unable to pay khums on his time. He's ready to pay the taxes of IRS, which we all pay, but he's not ready to pay khums on time. Or didn't care about prayers. So hellfire is coming from the right hand side, right? So some things we can rectify. But certain things which cannot be rectified, for example, the belief of a person. And now these six anwar and lights introduce itself. Man antum, the nur which is most intense, most luminous, asked all the rest of the six anwar, would you introduce yourself? Who are you? And they started to introduce each other. I'm the nur of his prayers, I'm the nur of his taxes, I'm the nur of his fastings in the front, and the nur of his hajj at the back, and so on and so forth, and the nur of the help he provided to the fellow mu'min brothers at the feet. And then all of them asked this nur, which is on the top of the head of this dead person, who are you? Would you introduce yourself? And this nur is the most intense. The narration says that about this nur, that it is bi jamalik al-bahi al-fa'iq al-atir. This person is, this nur is the most beautiful among the rest of the nurs, and most superior in terms of the nice smell. And then this nur replies back, ana walayatu ala muhammadin
allahumma salli ala muhammad wa ali muhammad
walayatu ala
this is not possible to be rectified. If somebody supported Tawhid throughout his life, sympathizing with the Zalimeen throughout his life, supporting this Zalim and that Zalim, and supporting pictures of Facebook, including the pictures of some of our Mu'min people, Mu'min brothers and sisters, what kind of pictures of what Zalimeen they are posting on their own Facebook? And you skip on the next page, Labbaik Ya Hussain. On the next page, Imam Hussain Shrine. And then another Zalim. What kind of Islam some people are practicing? What kind of Islam? Taqwiyat of Batil. This cannot be rectified. If you support the Zalim, your love of Ahlul Bayt doesn't combine. You know, if somebody supports Yazid, love of Imam Hussain, then he says, I love Imam Hussain. This is a joke. Even a kid is not going to buy. So that noor is impossible to be compensated for. We need to correct our children in our lifetime. There is no room for you to support the Tawhid. This simple red line that you cannot cross. Zero tolerance law of Allah about the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Rest of the things, your prayers can be rectified by somebody being in your proxy. Your khums can be paid by somebody in your proxy, right? Help of the mu'min you did not provide, okay, we can go and seek forgiveness from those mu'mineen whom you messed up in your rights towards them. But this is impossible to be rectified. Now, this is the identifying of the problem. What's the solution? Several solutions have been provided. So, first solution, praying fasting for 9 days in the month of Shaban. Just we just passed by. If somebody fasts for 9 days in the month of Shaban, the questioning of the Munkar and Nakir becomes easy. Munkar and Nakir becomes so soft and nice towards them. Solution number two, for being safe in the time of questioning in the grave, is that Man ahya laylat al-thalith wal ishreen min Ramadan. Whoever stays up throughout the night in the 23rd and the night before 23rd of Ramadan, the biggest night, Laylatul Qadr, most likely candidate for Laylatul Qadr, and he prays 100 rakats of prayers, and that's also helpful for that, for the time of the questioning of the Munkar and Nakir. And if person does that, Noor comes out of his grave. Noor starts glittering out of his grave when he's buried for this kind of moment. The third solution, so look at that. So it's about khidab. And khidab is also ahaduma istihya'u munkar wa nakim imman yakhrib. Somebody who applies khidab, that's also one of those things from which munkar and nakir feel hesitant. The fifth solution for this problem is someone who dies, who is buried in the Turbat of Najaf al-Ashraf or Karbala or one of the Masumeen alayhi salam, Mashhad al-Muqaddas, for example. This is the solution, one of the great solutions for avoiding the questioning of the angels in the Qabr. Now there was a great scholar, and Muhaqqiq al-Bahdahani rahmatullah alayh, when he saw Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in the dream, and he asked Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that Sayyidi wa Mawlai, ayus'alu man dufina bi jawarikum, somebody who is buried in your neighborhood, your proximity, is he going to be asked the questions in the grave? And Imam Hussain alayhi salam, according to that narration, replied in the dream of Muhaqqiq al-Bahdahani rahmatullah alayh, Man yajra'u min al-mala'ikati an yas'ala dhalika al-mayyit. Which one of the angels have the courage to ask that from that mayyit, that dead person? So none of the angels have the courage to ask any question from somebody who is buried in the proximity of one of the Masumeen. We realize the highness of the Masumeen at the time of death, unfortunately. We should have realized their highness before we die, but a lot of people don't realize their highness, and there are only a few who realize the highness of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But we have Al-Malaikatul Naqala, right? The transferring angels, even if you are not buried in Najaf. Graves are very expensive in some of those holy cities. But we have al-mala'ikatun naqala, transferring angels. So, and the first night, angels transfer the dead person. Transfer to where? Transfer to dirt, soil, and turbat, where they belong, they deserve to be. So, we are being transferred by Allah. By default, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us from the first night wherever we may be buried. Wherever we may be buried, right? There are enemies of Allah buried next to Imam Rida alayhi salam. Right? So, can you outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because of your political influence or financial supremacy, you get buried in a holy place, so you can outsmart Allah's laws? No way. Allah has his own principles. Even if the enemy of Allah is buried next to a ma'soom,
angels of Allah transfer him to a place where he belongs. This soil has not only the blood of Imam Hussein, but the blood of all of his ashab falling on that. Blood of Ali ibn al-Akbar falling in the land of Karbala. It's very holy. Very holy place. This is where our scholars and our Urufa take their shoes off and they land in alive in Karbala. They should take their shoes off. Why should we step with our shoes over the place which is so holy that the blood of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, the most sacred blood, has fallen down? Imam al-Hussein al-Islam, the blood of Ali Akbar has fallen down. So Ali Akbar is the one who sent Imam al-Hussein al-Islam when he was sending Ali Akbar. He said, Allahumma ashhad ala ha'ula'i al-qawm. O my Lord, be a witness on these people, against these people. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْتِقًا لِرَسُولِكَ. That young person is going towards the people who is, I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my words, that who is the most resembling person to your Rasul. In terms of his appearance, in terms of his akhlaq and morality, and in terms of his talk. وَكُنَّا إِذَا اِشْتَقْنَا إِلَىٰ زِيَارَةِ نَبِيَّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ. Whenever we were keen towards doing the ziyarat of your Prophet, we used to look at Ali Akbar.
Imam Hussein used to do the ziyarat of Rasulullah by looking at the most handsome face
of Ali Akbar.
No one has a son like Ali Akbar, so we cannot feel the pain of Imam Hussein.
And the amama of Rasulullah was placed over the head of Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar is sent for the qital. And
he also curses Umar ibn Sa'd by saying, Qata Allahu rahimaka kama qata'ta rahimi. May Allah cut your lineage the way you cut my lineage. How much pain Imam Hussein went through for the shahadat of Ali Akbar.
And finally, when Ali Akbar goes into the battlefield,
and after a short while, Ali Akbar returns back, and he said something into the ear of Imam al-Hussein. فَبَكَى بُكَاءً عَالِيًا. My Mawla cried with a loud voice. When his sister asked the reason why he is crying, Imam al-Hussein replied, in other words, that it's a tradition that the father does wasiyyat and will towards the son. But today the son is doing wasiyyat and will towards the father. Ali Akbar was so much thirsty and he was wanting some water. But how can Imam Hussein provide the water when there is no water available? He showed his tongue to Ali Akbar. And the tongue of Imam Hussein was more dry than the tongue of Ali Akbar. Imam Hussein consoles him
by saying, in other words, that Rasulullah is going to provide you the drink. Obviously, it's very close that Rasulullah is going to provide. Amir al-Mu'mineen will be there providing the drink of Kawthar to Ali Akbar. And now Ali Akbar goes back to the Maqtal, to the battlefield. He did his war, his defense of Imam al-Hussein. And finally, when he falls down, Sayyidina Zainab goes first. Look at the courage of Sayyidina Zainab. And look at the highness of this great lady. And how much she loves Imam al-Hussein. And how much she has defended Imam al-Hussein throughout her life. Sayyidina Zainab goes ahead of Imam al-Hussein. Makes herself reach Ali Akbar. Because she knows how much, maybe one of the reasons is this. She knows how much Imam Hussein loves Ali Akbar. To support her brother. And then Imam Hussein arrives. And this is where Ali Akbar starts to comfort his father. Hada jaddi Rasulullah. This is my grandfather Rasulullah. Yaqra'uka salam. He's saying salam to you. Prophet was saying, Ajjalil quduma ilayna. Come quickly towards us. And this is how Ali Akbar is comforting his father, who is in the pain. And Ali Akbar had a piece of the spear in his chest. How would the father tolerate his son in so much pain? My Mawla is about to take out that piece of the spear from the chest of Ali Akbar. And the soul of Ali Akbar departs. And Sayyidina Tawus says, فَوَضَعَ خَدَّهُ عَلَىٰ خَدِّهِ. Imam al-Hussein put his cheek over the cheek of Ali Akbar. عَلَىٰ الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْعَفَىٰ.
Thank you.